Jeremiah, chapter number 29. It's in the Old Testament, Jeremiah, one of the major prophets. Only major because it's a big book, right? So imagine if you have a big mouth preacher that says a lot, he's a major preacher. Why? He's got a lot to say, right? That's the description I was taught in Bible school, why they call the others major prophet and the others minor prophet. The minor prophets talk a little bit less. They had less chapters and less verses. And that's how they were called minor prophets. Not that what they said was minor. Everything is major. It's God's word. It's important. So Jeremiah chapter number 29, we started last week, this idea that God is for our good. God is for our good, okay? And obviously this is a way of encouraging. There's a lot of our people that are in sickness. A lot of our people are going through things, and I think that's a normal thing. As we live on this life, there's going to be mountains and there's going to be valleys, all right? And maybe you're in the mountaintop, maybe things are going well for you, in all aspects of your life. Praise the Lord for that. Watch out, because there might be things that you're unaware of. And we need to have the right perspective. So number one last week was really, really important for us to understand the next 2 points I'm going to make to you, because the next 2 points are going to be hard. The first one is easy, and we have to remember that God thinks well of us. He thinks a lot about us. Remember, his thoughts to us are without number, all right? Remember those verses that we talked about last week. I'm not going to re-preach what we did last week, but we're going to build on those, and now we're going to go to this second point. Remember our first point, his perspective. His perspective, what I mean by that, his point of view, the way he views us, and that is his will. His will encompasses his will, and in that, he recognizes our well-being. Wow, God cares for us. There's verses we read that he knows the number of our hairs. There's verses we read that he bottles our tears. There's verses we read that he knows your every step. All right? And we talk about that his thoughts to ours are without numbers. We talked about the stars. I hope you enjoyed some of that eclipse that happened the other day. We did a little bit. It was cloudy where we were, but it was neat to see how it got dark, you know? And then later it came bright again. But it was, anyways, speaking of the thoughts of God to us without numbers, he compared it to the sand of the sea. And if you can count how many grains of sand there is, his thoughts are more than that. It's without number. And oftentimes, we don't think of him as much as he thinks of us. All right? And so don't forget that. Now we're going to go to the second point. All right? His perspective, that's his will, and encompasses our well-being. All right? Number two, his plan. His plan. God has a plan. All right? God has a point of view. God has a perspective, but he also has a plan. And sometimes, you know, our perspective might differ. Our point of view might differ from God. But also, it's sad sometimes that our plans sometimes differ from him. And we have to be very, 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 very careful not to live our lives outside of the plan of God. We have to be very careful of that. And so we're looking at his plan, all right? His plan and what that encompasses. That's his ways. That's the way he does things. That's the way he likes things done, his ways. And what is that? In a nutshell, what is that? To use us, all right? To use us, all right? His perspective is his will. It includes our well-being. Now, his plan is his ways, right? The things that he does, the way he does things. And what that has to do with us is the fact that he wants to use us. All right? So I hope this will make sense. All these points are going to make sense here, that when you go through something you don't understand, maybe you're going through a Job experience, You'll understand why those things are happening to you, okay? So, Jeremiah 29 and verse number 11, let me just read that to you. Just follow along as I read it to you. Jesus said, or the word of God says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." Oh, there's where we find the second point I'm talking about. It ties with the first point. How does God think of us? God thinks of us well. He thinks of us, and his thoughts to us are thoughts of peace. All right? Thoughts of peace. Why? Because there is an expected end. There's a plan. God has a plan for you and for me. Now, that might be different because we're all different from one another, and there's a lot of general will of God that he performs. But when it comes to our own lives, not all of you became a preacher. Not all of you are going to be called to be missionaries. Not all of you are going to be doctors. Not all of you are going to do the same thing. But God will help you and let you know what you need to do personally, all right? He will give us guidance generally. All of us should be in church. Hebrews talks about don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. All of us should be soul winning. We should be involved in carrying the gospel to the next person. That's very clear. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That command is given to every Christian. You don't have to be a preacher or an evangelist or a Sunday school teacher or a junior church teacher or whatever. You don't have to have a position in the church for you to share the gospel. All you have to be is a saved individual. Go share the gospel. All of us are commanded to give. To give of ourselves and to give of our time and to give of our resources. We are commanded to give a 10%. We are commanded to give an offering. All right? That's general. That's general. We're all commanded to be in the book. We're all commanded to pray. We're all commanded to love one another. I preached a message yesterday. We're all commanded to bear one another's burdens. There's a lot of general. When I mean general, it means includes everybody. Every Christian of all ages. We have a part in obeying those general command. But God has a very specific will for you. And let me let you know, the way you know his specific will is you don't neglect the will that has been revealed. All right? The will that is for all of us. Well, I want to know what God wants me to do, but I'm not going to go to church. Well, you're not going to get a chance, probably, if you have an attitude like that, to learn what his personal will might be for you. Well, I want to know what God wants me to do, but I'm not going to read the Bible. Okay, now how in the world do you think God feels when he has clearly told you something and is clearly given to you? How do you think he's going to feel? And then he's going to give you a specific will. You're not even doing what he asked. Right? And so think about that. Well, I want to know what God wants me to do. Well, the best place for you and the condition you need to be in is just doing what you already know to do. Just do what you already know to do. And God will give you those specific wills. You know where I found that I needed to be a missionary? I was doing what God wanted me to do. I was already doing what God wanted me to do, that I knew to do. I was soul winning. I was praying. I was reading my Bible. I was giving. I was serving in the church in the capacity that I was able to. Right? Then he revealed this. All right, son, I want you to do this now. All right? So don't wait for the special revelation of God for your life. And you're not even doing the things that's already very, very, very plain in Scripture. Oh, I want to know who God wants me to be married to. But I don't need to. I don't pray. Why do I need to pray? Well, he's not. You're going to be in very, very sad shape in that regard. All right. There is an expected end. God has a plan for you. And it's your job, according to the Scripture in the New Testament, to tell us that we need to understand the will of God. We need to understand the will of God. Who has the responsibility to know what God wants you to do? We'll always blame God. Well, God hasn't said anything. God hasn't showed me anything. All right? He has responsibility, absolutely, to reveal to you what he wants. But you have as much as responsibility to him to be ready to receive his will for you. You have to be ready. You have to be in the right place so that he can show you those extra and specific will of God for you. 2 Timothy 2:21. Look at 2 Timothy 2 and verse number 21 in the New Testament. 2 Timothy chapter number 2 and verse 21. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use. All right, it's clear that God wants to use us and prepared unto every good work. It is clear that in God's plan, his way of doing things, he wants to use Christians. You are part of his master plan to be used to give him glory. He has to use you some way, somehow, his way. And he will do it. He actually and will do that in your life. All right? If you're willing and you're wanting it, God will reveal to you a specific will. A specific will. You will know who you need to marry. You will know where you need to be. You will know what service you need to be in. You will know those things. All right? You will know those things. Genesis 50 in the Old Testament, first book. Genesis chapter number 50 and verse number 20. If you want to go there. Genesis chapter number 50 and verse number 20. But as for me, ye thought evil against me. But God meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. If you were there at the men's breakfast this past Saturday that we had, it was Brother Jack Young presenting to us forgiveness and how Joseph forgived his brother. And this is the verse. This is part of the verse he quoted when he preached to us. And you notice, let me read it to you again. And as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good. God meant it to happen. God allowed it to happen for what? To bring to pass, to accomplish what? His plan. And what is it? To save much people alive. If Joseph did not go through the hardship he went through, there would not be an Israel today. There would not be an Israel today. Egypt was used to sustain Israel for that time because there was a famine in the land. And Joseph had to go through the unexpected and very, very unfair treatment of his own brothers, and let alone the betrayal of other people and being in prison. And he had to go through all of those because God had a plan, and God shared that with us. God revealed that to us. This is what happened to Joseph, and all these things unexplainable to Joseph at the time, that this happened and this happened and this happened, and there was a reason for it. And the reason is God's plan. So as you are going through some of these understandable, you can't put your finger in it, why am I having a hard time in this area of my life? Why now? Why is this going on? Maybe take a second and pause and remember the first point. God never does anything and is except for your good. And it's for your good. His thoughts to you are thoughts of peace and not of evil. But he has to get you through some of these things because he's got a plan. Somebody said this, when you don't understand what's going on, just remember and know God's heart. You might be going through sickness. What's the purpose? I'm sure Job scratched his head, and he did many times, and wonder, why is everything falling apart? Now, none of us, I would assume, can say that you have gone through what Job has gone through. But we might, in some ways, are going through a little bit of what he went through. Some of you might have lost your family. Some of you might have lost things or possession. Or it could be there's a problem on the horizon coming. Don't forget the way God thinks of you. He knows your steps. He knows the number of your hairs. He knows when you cry. He knows. He knows about your situation. And whether you think or nobody does, the Lord does. And at times, he will send somebody along the way that seem to know. And so be watching for some people that would encourage you, because God is good that way. All right? He'll send somebody along to help you out. He's got a plan. That's the way he does things. All right? And it's because he wants to use us to accomplish a greater good. All right? A greater good that we can't imagine. And so praise the Lord for Joseph, how he endured those things. Later, it was revealed to him. He found out. Now, I'm not sure. Someday, will you find out every trial you went through had a purpose? I'm not sure of that. Lately, though, in my life, I've been given revelation why I went through the things I went through and why things happened the way they happened. There's some truths that God has kind of hidden before, and now he's kind of like, son, that's why this happened. Look, look, come here, look. And you say, oh, I want to see more. No, wait a second, because I'm going to have to put you through more. Just close it for a second. I'm going to get you through more, because if I open up the whole thing, you're not going to operate in faith. You're going to operate by sight. I want you to operate by faith. I want you not to know, because I want to know where your heart is. I want to know where you're depending on. I need to know who your God is. And so he'll close it for a time, but sometimes he'll open it up and say, whoa, okay, wait a second. I got more for you to do. I got more for you to go through. Look at Psalms 23 and verse number 4. Psalms 23 and verse number 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Because I'm all that. I'm self-made. I know what I'm doing. I'm confident. I am a smart man. I'm brilliant. I got it all together. That's what David said. I can play the harp. I've killed a bear. I've killed a lion. And if you're not careful, you think that's ridiculous. Well, I can't say the word. If you think that's crazy, ridiculous. There you go. I had to slow down. Ridiculous. You can take that home to the bank today. Pastor Chris got to say the right word. A lot of times, do you not catch yourself talk like that? When you're in the middle of something you have no idea, and you find words to let everybody know, it's not affecting me. It's okay. Just be honest. You're struggling. Just be honest. You need help. But it's not in us sometimes as humans to admit our faults and admit where we're weak at. And it's not even sin. It's not even sin. It's not at all sin. It's just vulnerability. It's something that we're not totally confident about. That's it. But we're, I don't know, it could be Americans. I don't know, but it's everywhere I go. I think it's human nature. We don't want to admit and we don't want to show our cards. And we don't want to let people know we're vulnerable. We always put something else in there. And it could be a false pretense or a false confidence, but we always put something in there. Nothing is wrong. Everything is okay. Well, I can't help you if that's the case, you know. But if you're ready and willing to know that you're struggling, I can help you. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Why? For thou art with me. That's the only reason. That's the only reason. Something is happening in your life right now. You have no idea why this is happening. Why is this happening in my business? Why is this happening with my family? Why is this happening with my health? Why is this happening? Why is this happening at the church? Why is this happening? And you have no clue. And if you're honest, you say, well, I don't know the answer. Maybe that's a good place to be. Maybe it's a good place to be when you don't have it all. And you don't have it all together. And you can run to the Lord and say, the only thing I know is you're with me. The only thing I know is you're with me. I'm gonna get through this. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. They comfort me. Psalms 112 and verse 7. Look at Psalms 112 and verse number 7. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. I need to memorize this verse. As a pastor, you get to know some very, very horrible things. Very, very, very sad things. Very, very, very emotionally draining things. And it's just part of our job. Because we are the shepherd. All right? We are to care for our people. And when our people are hurting, and they have disappointments, and they have problems with relationship, they have problems with health, they have problems with business, they have problems with anything that happens in their life, our job as pastors is to be there, to hear them out, to let them know that we can help them as much as possible in human capacity. We'll pray for them. We'll internalize some of their pains. And we'll take it to Jesus and we'll pray with them and pray for them. And they can call us whenever they need to call us. And if they need any kind of advice, if we can have it and give it to them from the Word of God, we'll give it to them. And so I need this verse. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. Because not all are good news. Not all news are good. Now, if you watch the news all the time, don't even bother. It seems like it's always bad. I'm glad to hear good tidings. Right? It's like a cold water. But you have to be ready to hear some really, really horrible news. All right? And you shall not be afraid. Why? Because his heart is fixed. His heart is fixed. It is set. It is not going to move. It is founded. It is established. All right? Trusting in the Lord. Just hold on to Jesus when you don't understand how and why you're going through stuff. Because remember how he thinks of you. His thoughts towards you are thoughts of peace. Not of evil. To bring you to an expected end. There's a plan, and that's the way he does it. He's going to use you. He's going to use you to get something accomplished. The will of God will not take us where the grace of God cannot sustain us. And that is so true. God is not going to take you to a place where he's not going to be there with you. He's going to be with you wherever he takes you. Let me try to finish this up. Point number 3. So we see in this idea for our good, his perspective, right? His will is our well-being. Number 2, he's got a plan, his plan. And that encompasses his ways, the way he does things. And what is it that to use us? And number 3, here we go. His procedure. All right? His procedure. All right? And what is that? His works. The way he works. All right? And how and sometimes what that means. That means sometimes he'll put you hardship. He'll put you into hardship. His will is your well-being, his perspective. His plan, his ways is to use you. Sometimes, though, his procedure to get that to happen, and it's almost oxymoron, the first and the last point. If that God thinks well of me, why is he going to put me through hardship? Why is he going to put me through hardship? Why do I have to suffer these things? Well, that's the way he works. That's the way he works. He works through hardship. Look at Romans 8 and verse number 28. Romans 8. And verse number 28, and we know that all things work together for good. They're not all going to be good. They're not going to be all dandy. They're not going to be all easy. They're not going to be all nice. That's not the promise. The promise is it will end up good. Somehow, some way, it'll end up good. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. His purpose, his plan, his way of doing things. And sometimes the procedure is hardship. He'll put you through hardship. Jeremiah 8, 18 and verse number 4. Jeremiah 18 and verse number 4. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. Where did he mar it? In his hands. The nice thing to think about is that he's in control. No matter what's going on, it seems like your life is out of control. It seems like God is not in it. Just wait a second. He's so big that even though you're in the middle of trouble, he's still holding on to you. He's still right underneath there. And where are you marred? Sometimes you are marred in the hand of the master. On purpose, he's going to have you suffer some. And it's for our good. And it's for our good. Listen to me and listen to me well. It is for our good. Don't you ever forget that he doesn't think evil of you. His thoughts of you are thoughts of peace, to bring you to an expected end. But sometimes his procedure, the way he works it out, is that he's going to put you into hardship. He's going to put you into hardship. He's going to mar you while you're in his hand. You would think he's a gentle God. He's a gentle man. Why would he do that? Because he's got a purpose. He's got a plan. He's working something out that you might not understand. And pray for understanding. Because if you understand, maybe you'll be more yielded to his operation, the way he's doing it to you. But he doesn't promise us total understanding times. He never promised Job that. He never came to Job and said, hey, wait a second, let me give you, you know, when you watch a movie, they have a version of how that would be under the director. The director would be talking as the movie is going. And sometimes we want our life where the director says, you know why we did this scene? It's because of this and this and this and this. And we want all of that as God is working in our life. And God says, no, you just have to watch it. Have you ever watched something that a kid that or whatever, whoever it is, that always asks, what's going to happen next? What's gonna happen? Shut up, I don't know what's going to happen next. This is the first time I'm watching this stupid movie. Shut up and watch it with me. Right? You don't have to say that mean. You could say, can you just be quiet? Or don't watch it with them. You know? I don't know what you're going to do. But what's going to happen next? I said, if I knew, I would have told you. I don't. I'm watching this for the very first time. And all of our lives are happening for the very first time. God knows all of it. He's the beginning and the end. He's the Alpha and Omega. So we should trust the director. He would know. He decided the whole thing. And he helped you with his sovereignty, gives you a free will. You have a part in all of it. You have responsibility to make the right choices, right? Look at this. You are marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, at seem good to the potter to make it. Here's a surrender. Here's the surrender. There are some things that God's not going to ask your opinion about. He's just going to do it because he knows it's good for you. And I have a feeling that Americans have a problem with that. I have a feeling that Americans, us, have a problem with that. God's not going to ask you all the time for your opinion on what he's about to do with you. He's not going to sit you down all the time and say, hey, son, would it be okay that I did this and did this and did this. And he's not going to give you time to think about it and wait on you to say, you know, God, if you did that, could you give me this and this and this and this? He doesn't do that. That's Americanism. That's being an American. Praise the Lord, we live in a country that we can even do that. We have freedom. We have choices. Hallelujah for our freedom. I'm not dissing that. I'm glad that we have that. But God sometimes is not going to ask you. Come on, you're guilty if you have children. Did you ask your children every time before you did something? You just did it. And they just had to go along with it. Right? Come on, you've done that. Right? Well, God's all-knowing compared to you. God knows everything compared to you. There's some things that you haven't even learned that God is an expert on already, right now. And so he's not going to ask necessarily your opinion before he does it. As seem good to the potter to make it. Job 23 verse 10. It's a famous verse. We sing it part of a song. It says, but he knoweth the way that I take. When he had tried me, I shall come forth as gold. We just have to know that God knows what's going on. And we don't have to know what's going on. Because even if we did know what's going on, there's nothing we can do about it. We have to learn when it is our choice and that we have the choice. And we have to learn sometimes with God that he's not going to ask you for a choice. This is the way he's going to do it. He says, worship me in the beauty of holiness. Well, God, can that include this and this and this? No. I'm very clear with you. Worship me in the beauty of holiness. Holiness means separated from sin, sacred, holy, no sin. So you can't worship me in any form you want. It has to have no sin. Well, can I have drums with that? Can I have this with that? Can I have this with that? Can I have this with that? Can I include some worldly ideology in that? No, I don't want that. I want you to worship me in holiness. And we struggle with that, but that's God's procedure. He's just going to do stuff sometimes, maybe all the time, without you knowing. Although sometimes he's nice, he will give you some idea what he's about to do. He's very good about that. He doesn't have to, but he does. Isaiah 63 and verse number 3. Isaiah 61 and verse number 3. Isaiah 61 verse number 3. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And sometimes you have to wait that God will change the ashes and make it beautiful. You have to wait at times for that oil of joy while you're in mourning. And you have to wait for that garment of praise while you're in depression, heaviness. And you might have to wait for that tree of righteousness and God's going to bring fruit upon you. You have to wait for the fruit that God is working in your life to come out. All right? And what is it all about? His plan to use you, his procedure sometimes is his hardship because he's interested in being glorified. Look at Psalms 1 and verse number 3. Last verse for tonight. Psalms 1 and verse number 3. And he shall be like a tree planted by the river of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Remember Jim Elliot? Jim Elliot, missionary to Ecuador, died trying to get the gospel to the Ecuadorian tribe. After his death and the death of his co-missionaries, his wife Elizabeth Elliot, later with some friends, came back to the same tribe. It was the Aka Indians, all right, the ones that murdered her beloved husband and ended up winning the tribe to the Lord. And I just heard that the man, Minche, all right, that the one that helped kill her husband, Jim, just died, I think, a couple years ago, just last year, I think, if I'm not mistaken. Now, think about this. Because his wife came back and witnessed to them, instead of being bitter, came back and witnessed to the same people that murdered their husbands, I'm sure that would be an interesting meeting with Minche and Jim. From both perspectives, that would have been really cool. Right? I'm the guy that came to you to try to witness you guys. You killed us. And now you're still here because my wife came back and now you know the Lord. What an interesting thing that would have been. This is what Elizabeth Elliot said. And we'll be done for tonight. Our vision is so limited, we can hardly imagine a love that does not show itself in protection from suffering. This is the lady, this is the wife of what I just talked to you about. This is what she said. The love of God is of a different nature altogether. It does not hate tragedy. It never denies reality. It stands in the very teeth of suffering. The love of God did not protect his own son. The cross was the proof of his love, and how brutal the cross was. That he gave that son, that he let him go to Calvary's cross. Though legions of angels might have rescued him, he will not necessarily protect us. Not from anything it takes to make us like his son. A lot of hammering and chiseling and purifying by fire will have to go into the process. That's the woman that the husband was unjustly killed, simply because loving that tribe, was unjustly killed, died in the prime of their lives. Newly married, some of them were newly married, that went to this place and got killed and died. What would possess those women to go back? Only God. Only God. And they might have understood what I'm preaching tonight. They might have understood that God's will, his perspective to them, is not of evil, but of peace. There is something that he's planning to do. And it might be that we have to grow through some hardship to get to it. But they're willing, and they did. They went and witnessed to the same people that murdered their husband. That has to be God. And for her to write this, is so incredible. And it's so powerful because she lived it. She lived what I just preached to you. She lived what she said. She said sometimes the love of God is for to let somebody he loves suffer for the sake of a greater good. I'm glad that Jesus died on the cross. Because if he didn't die, Chris Barron would have no hope of heaven. But I thank the Lord in his will, and plan, his ways, and his working, that there's a dear Jesus that he loves so well, his beloved son, whom he sent and he forsook on the cross. Because it bore the sin of mankind. Christian, that's the God you say you serve. Would you not think at times he's going to have you go through the same process he went through? Would you think at times he's going to have you suffer a little bit and give up something, a little bit, for his will and his work to be accomplished? Some of you are going to lose some of your children to the mission field. There is some suffering that goes with that, and you know what I'm talking about. But let me let you know this. God's not mad at you. God's thought of you is thought of peace and not of evil, to bring you an expected end. He has a plan. There's a greater good that's going to happen because you did that. There's a greater good. You're going to go to the mission field, and you're going to leave behind what you think might be a life that could be desired. You're going to walk away from all of it, and you're going to go out there. Let me let you know this. God thinks well of you. He's got a plan, is to use you. And sometimes for you to be used in a mighty way, you have to go through some hardship. So Christian, I'm not asking for hardship. I'm not the first in the list. Who wants to be persecuted? Who wants to be rejected? Who wants to be accused? Who wants to be mistreated? Who wants to be abused? Who wants to be said wrong about? Who wants to be gossiped about? Who wants to be this and this? I'm not going to be the first one to write my name on that. But if my God decides to write my name on that and say, you have to go through some of this, Chris, because I got something good I'm going to do. Guess what? I'm just going to have to surrender. And say, all right, God, you know better than me. I know you love me. You're not going to take me where your grace is not going to go with me. I'm going to trust you. Lord, thank you for what we learned. Help us to realize these truths in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.